Good morning. It's 9 minutes past 7 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and I'm Gene Purcell. I'll be filling in for Joy Cardine this week. Even as state legislators are considering a proposal from Wisconsin Governor Jim Doyle to create a fund to keep faculty at the UW system, fears grow in some quarters that the institution's reputation as world-class is suffering. According to an Associated Press article published earlier this week, more than 115 professors reported receiving outside job offers last year. That is the most in 20 years, and according to the article, that is more than twice the number from just 5 years ago. Our guest this hour is one of the professors who is leaving the UW-Madison, and while he says the money and the pay that is being talked about is a factor, it is just one of the factors that caused him to accept another job. What are your feelings on this issue? Do you share the concern that the UW is losing too many good people too fast, and that it really is in danger of losing its world-class status? If that is a problem, will more money solve it, or is there more that needs to be solved? Or do you see this as a problem of people who are already making a good living, just getting a little too greedy? Either way, we'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234, or if you're calling from Madison, the local number is 263-1890. We're joined in the studio this morning by Joe Soss, who is a professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and he begins his new job at the University of Minnesota this fall. I should also point out that we did attempt to book a number of university officials and state legislators for this morning's program, but the timing just didn't work out. So, Professor Soss, good morning. Welcome to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you along. First of all, let's start on your background here in Wisconsin, because I do want to try to put this whole thing into context. And you are not a professor. A lot of people might think, well, this is a person who was at this school for a couple of years and that school for a couple of years and just sort of moving up the career ladder. But you've been in Wisconsin for a while.
Yeah, I actually came here as a graduate student originally in 1990 and went through the graduate program in the political science department that I work in now here at the University of Wisconsin. And I left here in 1996 and went away and taught for 6 or 7 years in Washington, D.C. at American University, and really jumped at the chance to come back to the University of Wisconsin because it had been such a fine place to be a student and such a great academic community to work in. Also, my wife is from Milwaukee, and so we have some deeper roots here in the state. So it was really, really kind of a joy to come back.
So a lot of roots here, and kind of a familiar story because you hear it all the time, or at least you did, where people went to school here either as an undergrad or a graduate, and a couple years later they get the chance to come back. And as you say, many of them jumped at that chance because this is a pretty good place to be.
Yeah, there's really few public universities like the University of Wisconsin in the world. The opportunity to work with people across disciplines who are, you know, almost every unit of the university has been strong historically and has really allows you a kind of community that you don't find many places. The students are absolutely first class, and so it's a great place to work in many ways, or at least it has been historically.
And so how long have you been back here at the university?
4 years.
So it's been 4 years, and it's 4 years down the road, and already it seems like a relatively short period of time to make a decision that really has this kind of impact on your career. What led you to this place? And a lot of people right away are going to say, well, it was the money. He got a better offer, and he's out of here. But we were talking a bit off the air, and it's more than that.
Yeah, well, I think if you, although I've only been back for 4 years, really the story goes back much farther than that. Over the past several decades, the state of Wisconsin has really been withdrawing support from the University of Wisconsin. About 30 years ago, state revenue accounted for about 43% of the university's budget. About 10 years ago, it accounted for 27%, and this past year it accounted for 19%. And when you withdraw support for a university like that, over time, you really put pressure on and undermine almost every aspect of the institution. And so what happens is you limit the ability of departments and faculty to offer the kinds, the diversity of classes they might like to offer undergraduates, and you have to put more undergraduates in each classroom because you don't have the resources. It hurts your ability to to compete for and really to support at a reasonable level the best graduate students out there who are coming into graduate programs. You have to pare back on administrative staff, which means that faculty have to do a lot more of their own administrative work. And you're really limiting the ability of faculty and departments to attempt to pursue creative new directions, to attract new faculty and really stay at the forefront of their field. And so in many ways, all aspects of the job become harder, and you're working in a context in which many people are demoralized by the fact that they're really trying to just keep pace with where they've been rather than looking to the future and trying to build something. And it's in that context that really the pay issue fits in. It's these broader issues that matter as well. But the pay, of course, is important because when you pay people significantly less than what the market offers and what their peers are making elsewhere, that is quite apparent to them. People know what their peers are making at other institutions that are like their own and know how much they're falling behind. And at the same time, the university is hiring from the market and, of course, has to compete and offer salaries at the market level to new people that they bring in. And what that does is create a situation where you're bringing new people into the department who are getting paid significantly more than people who have been here at the university working for the state for quite some time and giving their best. And so, for example, this past year, we made an offer to someone to join our department who was actually at a level below the level that my position's at here at the university, who was offered more than 50% more than what I was being paid and was actually offered exactly double the amount that people at her level were being offered. Double the salary is quite a significant difference. And that message to people who've been here year after year, not going on the market, working hard for the university, that's a strong message.
We're talking with Joel Soss this hour about the University of Wisconsin system and faculty. I don't know if exodus is the right term, but certainly a lot of faculty are leaving, and the questions are why. Money is one of the factors, but there's a lot more to it than that. We'll be discussing those issues and more with your phone calls at 800-642-1234. If you're calling from the Madison area, it is 263-1890. I'm Gene Purcell. I'm filling in for Joy Cardine this morning here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. It's 18 minutes past 7 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up after 9 o'clock, it is one of the key issues shaping the 2008 presidential debates. Kathleen Dunn and her guest will take a look at the U.S. healthcare system and the presidential candidates' reform proposals. That's up after 9 o'clock this morning here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This hour, we are talking about the University of Wisconsin system, and I don't know if you'd like to call it a brain drain or what the term is, but there are a lot of faculty and a lot of staff leaving the University of Wisconsin these days, and the question is why. Is it as simple as a case of money? Our guest this hour is one of the people who is leaving. Joe Soss is currently a professor of political science at the UW-Madison. He begins his new job at the University of Minnesota in the fall, and we're talking about some of his impressions of the university and the environment here. And I do want to remind you that we did attempt to book a number of university officials and state legislators for the morning program, but timing was a big issue on this program, and unfortunately, they were not able to make it. So do chime in with your comments and help flesh out this conversation. 800-642-1234 is the toll-free number in Madison. It is 263-1890. You can also join us by email, and that address is talk@wpr.org. And Joe Soss, before the break, we were talking about some of the issues within your department, and the political science department at UW-Madison, I guess, is a good sort of example of what has been happening. And this semester, this break alone, or this year, I don't know where the time span is, you've lost 8 faculty members. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And how big is the department as a whole?
About 35 faculty members.
So that's a chunk.
Yeah, it's a very large percentage.
And do you see this? I mean, is this just an anomaly, or is this sort of more of a real, you know, a good symbol of what is happening throughout the university, do you think?
Well, it's a bit of both, actually. Part of the reason why we lost 8 this year is because we had some retirements as well as some people leaving. But the reason it's emblematic is because if you look across many units in the university, there are larger numbers of people leaving. At any strong university, you're going to get, and you hope to get, a situation where faculty are attractive enough to other institutions where they get invitations each year to leave. And in the past, at the university, fewer people have responded to those invitations because the situation here is so good. The university is such an excellent place. But with the changes that have been occurring in the university and with the pay issues and the fact that the university has really told professors that if you want to raise your salaries up to market levels, you need to go on the market and accept these invitations, more people are doing it. And so there have been losses across the university.
Let's go to and find out what callers think, because we do have a number that would like to join in. We'll start with Dan, and Dan joins us from Madison this morning. Hi, Dan.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Okay. I'd just like to weigh in and echo some of your guest's comments. I, too, am a faculty member in the sciences. And I think that one thing that state legislators may not fully appreciate, nor may the population of the state appreciate, is that the university relies considerably for its welfare on federal grants. And federal grants require a pretty significant amount of administration, and the pay rate, in other words, how many proposals you write versus how many grants that actually get funded, continues to drop because of other pressures, which we're, as a country, obviously aware. But one of the issues when you cut support for administration is that things fall through the cracks, and sometimes federal grants don't get funded simply because the administration hasn't fully supported professors and staff for pursuing these things, and it certainly happened to me. So what I think needs to be realized is when you start to trim what looks like fat in the university, you're actually cutting away at muscle, and I think that that's where we are right now. That by cutting away at the faculty and the administrative support, we're also dramatically reducing our ability to go out and get external support, such as federal support. So it really is has more severe ramifications than might be apparent right from the outset.
All right, Dan, thanks for the call. And Joe Soss, it sounds pretty much like the story that you've been telling us.
Yeah, I think part of the problem is that we have excellent administrative staff at the university on the whole, but in most units now, what we've done is to pare back. We've sort of downsized the administrative staff to the point where we have much smaller numbers of people doing the work that used to be done by a larger group, and so they're overworked and in some cases, frankly, underpaid, and it's impossible for them to really cover everything that needs to be done to keep the department going and as an organization, and also provide the kind of support that faculty need to bring in federal grants, which are, as the caller correctly said, a big source of support for the university and a source of revenue that provides a lot of jobs within the state and within the university community.
And we've been talking specifically about the UW-Madison here, but it is worth pointing out that there are plenty of other campuses in the UW system, and I wonder if any of that is occurring out there as well, or is this just a problem limited to this particular campus? Obviously, this campus is your area of expertise, I guess. But have you heard of other campuses in the state being affected by this as well?
Oh, yes. I think, I know the University of Wisconsin-Madison best because it's my home, mm-hmm. Where I work. But my understanding is that the cutbacks have really affected the capacities of universities throughout the system.
As you follow the story in the media, whether it's in the newspaper or television stories, you see legislative hearings, all that sort of thing. Is the story being told, do you think, accurately? I mean, is it getting out? Can we really get the gist of it from a legislative hearing?
Well, I don't think that over the past several decades the story has really been getting attention because it's been so incremental. I was speaking with some of my students right after news came out that 8 faculty would be leaving the political science department this year. And one of the things I said to them was that while this may look like a crisis and in some ways is one, at the same time, we should see it as an opportunity to start a conversation we need to have. Because the problem is that it's been sort of death by a thousand cuts, very small incremental withdrawals of support that really undermine the university but don't rise to a level that we ever have a public discussion. And really what we have to decide in the state of Wisconsin is whether we want to continue to have a first-class university, because it's something that's contributed a lot to this state over the last century or more, and we're in the process of possibly losing that.
Let's go back to callers right now. Brian joins us, and Brian is calling from Cuba City. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. I agree with him totally about the universities not paying their people enough. You know, when new people are coming through, they're getting that pay scale that is just below the people who have been there 10 years or longer. You know, that upsets a lot of people. And another thing is domestic partnership health insurance, I think, is a big value to the university system, but yet they don't offer it. I believe, I'm not sure, but I believe that we're in one of the top 10 universities, and we're the only ones that do not have domestic partnership health insurance. And so I'd like to touch on that, you know, if I could, you know, if I could hear the comments on that part of it, because I think that a lot of people do leave to go to the bigger cities, to the bigger areas where there is more money, where there are better health insurances. All right, and I'll take my comments off the air.
All right, Brian, thanks for the call. And the domestic partner issue, of course, was very big in the legislature, I think, just last year. And it was a huge topic. Ultimately, it failed, and a lot of people looked at that at the time and said this is one of the factors that will affect the university standing and its ability to attract really qualified faculty members.
Yeah, I think it's a very important issue. All of our peer group, the University of Wisconsin, is the only one that doesn't offer domestic partner benefits at this point. And when you're competing to try and get a really attractive faculty candidate, someone who's really going to add a lot to the university, and they're getting offers at multiple places, and you're the only one that's saying, well, we're not going to cover your partner, you're at a real disadvantage, and it definitely hurts us.
You were talking earlier about the university standing as world-class, a first-class institution. And I guess the question a lot of people might have is, well, you know, what does it matter to me if I'm living in western Wisconsin or northern Wisconsin or someplace if it's first-class? How about if it's just a good, solid university where my student or where I can go and get a good education? Isn't that good enough?
Well, I don't think it's good enough. I think, you know, but people will differ on that. There are many states that don't have a world-class university in them, but those states don't benefit in the way that Wisconsin has from having a first-class university. If you look at the amount of businesses in the state that have spun off from the kind of inventions and the kind of creative work that goes on at the university, if you look at the kind of talent pool that the university brings to the state for advising legislators and various agencies within the state, and the really significant work that a variety of centers in the university as well as the academic departments do in trying to contribute to the state, I think you just don't get that same quality of contribution. We've celebrated and had this idea of the Wisconsin idea for many years here, which is that the boundaries of the university are the boundaries of the state. And for that to work in a way that really benefits the state, you really need to have top quality people here.
We're talking about the University of Wisconsin this hour with our guest, Joe Soss, a professor of political science who is leaving to go to the University of Minnesota next fall for a whole variety of reasons and perhaps just a symbol of larger issues at the university. I'm Gene Purcell. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. It's 25 minutes before 8 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell, and I am filling in for Joy Cardine this morning. During this hour, we are talking about the University of Wisconsin system, the quality of the University of Wisconsin. There are some who fear that the University of Wisconsin is in danger of losing its world-class status. We're joined this hour by Joe Soss, who is a professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin in Madison, and he is one of the faculty who is leaving the UW and going to a competitor, I guess would be the best way to put it, going to the University of Minnesota, and he'll begin his new job this fall. Before the break, we were talking a bit about the quality of the university right now, some of the challenges that is faced within the departments. And one of the issues, Joe Soss, that we were talking about during the break is the whole issue of, because we've been talking about state funding being cut on the one hand and programs being cut and the number of faculty decreasing and so forth. Last year, I think it was, there was a huge debate over a tuition increase. I think we had the same debate the year before that and possibly the year before that and so on and so on. And tuition has increased very steadily over the past 10 years. And you hear a lot, on the one hand, you hear a lot of legislators saying, you know, our kids, the people who are using the university can't afford to go there anymore. And on the other hand, you're saying we need more state support. We're in danger of losing our world-class status. And those two things are tied together, and there's no real way around that.
That's right. I think that, you know, if we think of it in terms of the analogy of our state parks, we sort of inherit our state parks in Wisconsin, and we strive to maintain them as a resource and as a place for all of us and for future generations in Wisconsin. And we pay for those parks through taxes, through our revenues that the state gets through taxes. And we support those parks. We keep them going. And if you begin to cut taxes and then cut the support that you can offer for those parks, what happens is you have to raise fees for people who want to go to the park. And then the park becomes more expensive, and some people can't afford to go anymore or can't go as often. And possibly if you can't raise the fees enough, you begin to take you don't take care of the parks in quite the same way, and you let them degrade. The university's the same thing in some ways. When you cut state support the way we have over the past few decades, you have to make that up somewhere if you want to keep the university strong, or you have to undercut the university. And we've been doing a little bit of both. We've been cutting back on a lot of things that matter, as we've been talking about this morning. And at the same time, we've been shifting to trying to get revenue from other sources, primarily tuition and donors.
And it really has changed, I think, the culture of the university in a lot of ways, not just the University of Wisconsin-Madison, but as you look around the state, you see a lot more work in trying to raise separate money for university programs. You see a lot more protests from students who are concerned about tuition. And money is an issue no matter where you turn. And I don't know how you avoid that. How do you find that balance of what is the right amount of state funding? What's the right amount of tuition? How do you work all that stuff out?
Yeah, I think one of the things that's worth mentioning is that although tuition has gone up quite a bit in the state of Wisconsin, we're still very inexpensive. The tuition at the University of Wisconsin is actually the ninth lowest in the Big Ten. There's only one of the Big Ten schools that's less expensive for tuition. And so at the same time that we've been losing all this state support, we really haven't raised tuition to any extent that would balance that out or sort of counteract the loss of revenue from the state. Donors, of course, we've been turning to more and more, but donors, of course, want to pay for what they want to pay for. And so you have this strange sight at the university of financial shortfalls in a variety of areas for running the university at the same time that we're building all sorts of new buildings, because, of course, donors oftentimes want to build structures or want to contribute to big projects like that. It's not as attractive to donors when you go to them and say, we really need help meeting basic salaries of people.
We had a caller who couldn't stay with us. Carol from Lake Geneva called, and her question had to do with money. What are we talking about in terms of money, entry-level salaries and that sort of thing? Is it really that bad that people are compelled to look elsewhere? Or, I mean, a lot of people, I imagine, are looking at the newspaper accounts and saying, gee, you know, $50,000, $90,000, whatever the figure might be. That seems like a pretty healthy salary to me.
Yeah, that's a great question. And an important one to talk about. You know, in many ways, professors are relatively well paid in American society compared with a lot of people's salaries, well above the average in terms of American incomes. But if we were to live, let's say, in a centrally planned economy where we simply got together and voted on what we should pay people, we could sit down and say, well, Sue here is going to do heart surgery. How much do we think that's worth? How much should we pay her? Right. In a market economy, we don't really get to make exactly that choice. The choice we make is how much are we going to offer people to do, say, heart surgery here and relative to what they can get out on the market, which means we choose whether to pay more or less than what's available out there and we choose to accept the consequences in terms of the quality of people we get in some ways. And so the choice that we really confront here is whether we want to keep, you know, the best faculty at the university and keep the university strong in some ways, because we exist in a market and people are going to have other options as well, even though all these options, of course, occur in a range of salaries that's higher than what many people make.
And that has to be when you're making the argument that you have to leave because of salary. At some point, people look at you and they must just shake their heads and say, "What's he talking about?"
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of the important things to realize about that is that as we spoke about at the beginning, it's not really just the salary. Mm-hmm. It's the variety of things that matter. And so, you know, as administrative support goes down, you're spending more of your time filling out forms and documents, copying materials for your courses, doing a variety of things that takes away from what you should be bringing to the university intellectually, what you should be offering to your students. You're able to offer fewer classes because you're losing faculty. You can't staff all the classes. You have to teach larger groups of students. There becomes less time to sort of get research done, to apply for grants, do a variety of things. And you're really also working in a situation where there are these sort of inequities I was talking about, where there's salary compression and people are watching new colleagues come in who are being paid, you know, as I said, in the extreme case in my department, being paid twice what they're being paid, and they've been here serving for a number of years. And so it's a variety of things that come together to create an atmosphere that you say, well, look, I can. There are other options to go somewhere, not only where your salary will be increased, but also where there are going to be opportunities to have the resources to pursue exciting new initiatives, to try and build the institution. You see an upward trajectory in terms of what you're going to be able to do and offer.
Let's go back to the phones right now, and Paul joins us from Prairie du Sac. Good morning.
Good morning, Gene. I just wanted to chime in from a different part of the UW system, and that's UW Extension.
Okay.
Up until about a month ago, I was a tenured faculty member in UW Extension and had been there for 11 years. And I actually chose to leave, for a variety of reasons. I actually went to another state agency and had a significant pay increase. But we went through 4 or 5 years where we were in the UW system. We hadn't had even a cost of living pay increase. In fact, we had 2 years in a row that our pay went down. We had a 0% pay plan and then picked up part of our own health insurance costs. The next year it was 1%, still picking up part of the health insurance. So we, in essence, had 2 years of pay decreases. So not only not a cost of living increase, but a decline. And I guess, you know, I reached a point where I thought, you know, I need to look at what the long-term future is here. And the trend wasn't good, and I felt like I needed to make a move try to do something. I've got a lot of years left to work and needed to go somewhere where there was a little bit better opportunity than UW system.
Did you feel as though you were alone in your thoughts, Paul, or were your colleagues in the same boat with you?
Yeah, colleagues are in the same boat. We had a lot of people that left in the 2 or 3 years prior to me leaving, and a lot of really good folks that left the system. Part of the thing with the UW system is there's not really much of a system of rewarding someone for doing good work, and there's not really much of a consequence for someone who's not doing such good work. And my opinion, it seems like we're sort of ratcheting down, you know, we're ratcheting down the talent pool when we're not rewarding good people, so they don't stay. They, you know, there's no reward for longevity like Professor Soss mentioned. And, you know, so we let those people go and then we're not doing anything about people who maybe aren't performing at their top level.
Paul, thanks for your comments. We appreciate the call. And Joel Soss, a voice there from another part of the university.
Yeah, I think the issue that he raises is right on. I think that, you know, what you're seeing across the university system is that you're losing a lot of very good people right at the point when they become more senior and can be taking on leadership positions in the institution and for the state. And what's happening is that because of the funding cutbacks, you're not able to replace all those people. In fact, because of the reduced funding at the university, really the university is depending on people leaving at this point so that they're paying fewer salaries, and they're not replacing those people as they leave, or they're replacing very senior people with newly minted PhDs, people who are coming in who may be excellent. So, for example, in my department, we have a fantastic group of junior faculty, but they're not known yet in the field oftentimes, and those people are not in a position where they can really take on leadership roles. They're trying to get tenure, and they're trying to get started in the profession.
We're talking about the quality of the University of Wisconsin this hour with our guest, Joe Soss, who is a professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and will be for a little while longer. He begins his new job at the University of Minnesota this fall. I'm Gene Purcell in for Joy Cardine here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. It's 12 minutes before 8 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up after 10, Kathleen Dunn's guest takes us into the fascinating world of the bonobo, the great ape species that are most like humans. The only ones living in the world are in a country where war threatens their survival, and the Milwaukee County Zoo is trying to save them. We'll learn more about that coming up after 10 o'clock this morning. For the rest of this hour, we are talking about the future of the University of Wisconsin system. Our guest is Joe Soss, a professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He is starting a new job at the University of Minnesota in the fall, and the fear is that there are a lot more people like him who are leaving, and a lot of people are worrying that the quality, the overall tone at the University of Wisconsin is slipping. One of the questions I'd like to ask, we had Wade from Milwaukee who weighed in and sent an email with his comments, and he says something along these lines. And this is something that you do read a lot in the paper, and I don't think Wade is alone when he says this. These instructors want to get published, they want to reduce their teaching duties to get the time to write, and they want the students to pay for their writing time. If they didn't write so much, they could teach more students, and their compensation would be spread over more students. Of course, instructors justify this by saying their publishing improves the reputation of the university and so on. Wade's point is that if people weren't so busy trying to get published and do research and so on, you could teach more students and it would be a more efficient system overall. And why are you complaining?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a great question. You know, not all universities, not all colleges are try to balance research and teaching in the same way that we do. But at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, part of our mission is the research that we do. And part of the reason why good faculty come here is to participate in those research communities. Now, I should say that research does oftentimes benefit the state in some ways. But I think the deeper point here is that that kind of question that gets asked frequently mm-hmm. really assumes that there's more of a trade-off between teaching and research than I think there is. If you look across many units of the university, and I know it's true in mine, many of our best teachers and our most accomplished and popular teachers are precisely the people who are standing out in their field in terms of their research. These are people who are bringing their ideas from their research into the classroom, who are getting students involved with their research, who are working with students to develop them as researchers in the future and teaching them how to think critically in a variety of ways and investigate important questions. So I don't think that there's a direct trade-off in any way between good research and good teaching at the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
Let's go back to the phones right now, and Sherry joins us from Menominee. Good morning, Sherry.
Hi, good morning. The question that was posed, why faculty are leaving the UW system, there's no doubt that the UW system faculty salaries lag behind other comparable institutions, and I think we need collective bargaining now more than ever. Aside from the salaries, I think there's three factors influencing the exodus of faculty, particularly at the regional campuses. One is a lack of tolerance of diversity. Many of the communities are provincial. There's extreme cronyism prevailing. Two, there is a culture of intolerance embodied in the extreme in the form of bullying and mobbing of excellent faculty, and this bullying and mobbing is enabled by administrators who are incompetent, they don't know how to lead, and they misuse power and resources. So I think all of these things have a debilitating effect on many faculty who are reconsidering their options and deciding whether or not they really want to be in higher education. Thank you.
All right, Sherry. It sounds like Sherry's got some strong thoughts on that. And, you know, she cites a culture of insensitivity, a lack of tolerance, talks about provincialism at particularly the regional institutions. And it's, you know, difficult to say from our vantage point whether any of that is true. But, you know, if those opinions are out there, you know, perception does tend to turn into reality sometimes.
Yeah, well, recently, one of the first stories this year to really report on what has happened in the political science department was published in the Badger Herald on campus. And that same day, there was an op-ed published in the Badger Herald by one of my colleagues, Don Downs. Mm-hmm. And Don wrote about two threats to the university, one being the funding issue and the other being the question of tolerance for speech. Unpopular speech. And I think that you can point to examples on the right and the left of people saying, hey, we're a public university, we're funding this university, and can you believe that this person receiving public funds has said this or is writing this or doing that? And that's part of what makes a university so vulnerable once a political situation comes into being where there's a lot of talk about should we be funding the university at the levels we are. It's because it's never hard to find in a large university like this examples of statements or actions that might outrage. And I think that part of what gets lost in that conversation sometime is precisely the point that the university is supposed to be one of the places in our society where we maintain as much openness as we can for conversation, where we want people to go to encounter ideas that will disrupt the way they think, that will challenge them to confront positions that they wouldn't normally encounter.
Let's go to Hudson right now, and Richard joins us. Good morning, Richard.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm actually a grad student out of Madison a while back, but I'm out of the engineering department. And I work for a large diversified manufacturing company in the Twin Cities now. And a couple callers ago, someone called up talking about, you know, pure research versus teaching in the classroom. We've seen that kind of squeeze happen here. It's been happening to corporations across the country. Where you're saying, well, why are you doing research that doesn't make us any money? Maybe it'll make money 10 years down the road, but it's not making us money now. You need to get new products out, and you see a decrease in the investment kind of a long-term research. So that's not just suggested there at the universities. It's happening in corporations around the country. Having said that, I don't think that looking at tuition and state funding is the metric that you should be looking at when you're looking at funding for these universities. You should be looking at endowments, and you should be looking at how much money comes in from patents, and that's really the number that you should be looking at if you're complaining about not getting enough funding. So I was kind of wondering how that compares with you know, the endowments and money from patents and other sources compares with state funding and tuition in Wisconsin versus Minnesota.
I don't know that I have an exact answer to that. I'm not sure if our guest does either. I do know that, you know, the use of endowments and outside sources of funding has been steadily increasing for the past 10, 15 years in any case. One of the questions I have, Joe Soss, before we leave for the top of the hour, we've been talking about a lot of issues over the past, you know, 55 minutes or so. And, you know, everybody wants to point the finger at somebody. You know, is it the legislature's fault? You know, is it the governor's fault? Is it the people who run the university? Is it the people who, you know, is it taxpayers who aren't willing to support it? Is it people within the university who are, you know, just grumbling too much? You know, who can we point the finger at? How do we get ourselves into this mess?
Well, I think it's been a combination of things that have got us into this mess. Part of it is that, like many states, we are confronting budgetary problems and have real challenges in budgetary terms in the state. But I also think that we have not had the leadership that we've needed in the past, you know, over the past couple of decades to really deal with this problem and maintain support for the university. And I think there are things that can go on within the university, certainly changes in policies, changes in strategies for dealing with having fewer resources that could really help. That could really make a difference. But ultimately, I think that you cannot run a world-class university without a substantial funding stream, without the revenues that you need to do that. And I don't think that we're going to be able to do that by imposing higher and higher tuition. on students to get to that point. I don't think we can raise our tuition that high to make it, and I don't think that the particular kind of things that donors are interested in funding are ever going to fill that role either. And so ultimately, while there are many things that have to happen, the sort of necessary condition for maintaining the UW as a world-class university is that public funding be increased, and that taxpayers come to understand what's happening to the. I think most people in Wisconsin love the University of Wisconsin system, and you know, feel some attachment to it and realize that at some level it's something that we should be trying to preserve. But I don't think many people are aware of what's happening, and so in some ways this is an opportunity for people to talk about that.
Joe Soss, thanks for joining us this morning. I appreciate your time. Joe Soss is a professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and as we mentioned, he begins his new job at the University of Minnesota this fall. He is leaving the political science department here, one of 8 faculty members who are doing so this year. If you'd like a copy of the program, you can call the radio store at 800-747-7444 and ask for program 65B. You can also listen to the program online at our web archive at WPR.org. Karen Prager produced this hour, and we had on-air production from Christina Taylor. I'm Gene Purcell, and I am here all week long filling in for Joy Cardine, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.